Hey, everybody, this is Warren Sharp, NFL analyst over at Sharp Football Analysis. I want to welcome you to the Ringer Gambling Show. Join me on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays each week during the NFL season with guests Chris Vernon, Ben Solak, and Joe House to guide you through the NFL betting landscape. We'll be talking spreads, game totals, parlays, player props, futures, and much, much more. Be sure to follow the Ringer Gambling Show on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Pure Leaf Iced Tea. Go beyond reality with new Pure Leaf Blackberry Iced Tea and discover a berry delicious world bursting with unexpected blackberry flavor. A world so full of refreshing blackberry iced tea that you may never want to leave. But there's always time to linger. Try new Pure Leaf Blackberry Iced Tea. Visit amazon.com/pureleaf and enter 20 Pure Leaf for 20% off your purchase of new Pure Leaf Blackberry Iced Tea.
What's up, everybody? This is your favorite time of week, the Survivor Season 41 Breakdown with me, your host, Tyson Apostle, on the Pod Has Spoken podcast with my sidekick, Riley McAtee, here again. Riley, how are you?
Hey, Tyson, how are you?
I'm great. And even more exciting than having Riley here again is having our guest, Amelia Wedemeyer, here. She is the co-host of Tea Time on The Ringer and also a Survivor enthusiast. Or fanatic, I guess I would say. Favorite season being Heroes versus Villains, I assume, from what Riley has said.
Yes.
And that's one of my least favorite seasons. So, Amelia, anything about... Just tell us your deepest, darkest secret so people get to know you like right off the bat here.
Oh, my God. Well, I'm a huge Survivor fan. I know we briefly... I hopped on this Zoom and I got to say, I'm starstruck.
By Riley or me?
By you both. By you in particular. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
I just want to say...
Go ahead. I was going to say I sometimes in the mirror get a little starstruck myself.
And I don't blame you. I know this is going to sound like I'm just like kissing your ass, but I...
No, I like that.
your seasons are honestly phenomenal. Truly.
Chef's kiss every time, right?
It's truly... Like, I have got to say that I think Token Jeans is... Truly, I mean, I think people rate it like at least top 10. It is a top 5 season for me. It is, I think it's like underrated. I think it is such a good season. So I'm just want to put that out there.
Yes, thank you. And just a little backstory. We are going to get into this episode immediately after this. Token Chains, when I went into it, I told myself there's two ways to win this game here. It's to win the bag, win the million at the very finish. But if you don't do that, you have to go hard enough that they invite you back for another season. And that's what I did on Token Chains. And I almost got both. There was a second there I was like, I'm going to do both of these things. And so I went as hard as I could and threw caution to the wind, because the last thing you want to do is finish a season with regret, being like, oh, I laid low and was trying to not be out there. And then all of a sudden I got voted out. And now that was my moment and it's gone. So, a little later, we were going to help Riley build his audition tape step by step here on the podcast. We'll talk about what went down and maybe some good news for you, Amelia. But right now, let's get into episode 5 of season 41, Survivor. And the episode title is Strategist or the Loyalist, which has been a theme this season. Amelia.
Yes.
How do you feel about the season so far?
I am honest. I'm loving it. I think it is great. I was a little, I don't know, I guess apprehensive about the less days, but I think it's actually helping because it's really moving it along quickly. And I already have favorites, and it's just, I don't know. It's once again, you know, Survivor just, it really does it for me.
Okay. I think so too. I enjoy all seasons of Survivor. Is this going to be a top 5 season for you? Just kind of figuring out where we stand.
Yeah. Well, I love it. I think it's great. I don't know yet. I mean, it has potential. I think it has potential to be top 10. I have my top 5 pretty secure, you know?
Yeah.
So it's really going to take some
crazy twists. And just we get to know these people even, which I'm sure we will, even more.
Yes.
And like, we got to know Shan even better, which I loved this episode. So I need more of that, I think, for it to be like top five for me.
Yeah, we did get into a lot of character building this episode. How many seasons of your top five am I on?
Token Chains.
Heroes versus villains.
The answer Tyson is looking for is four.
Blood versus water.
Blood versus water is really good. I do love Blood versus water.
Not top five though. I understand what you're saying. You said this Blood versus Water is not in my top five. Winners at War.
I do love. That's so hard.
Also not top okay. five. Okay. Cool, Amelia. 2 out of 5, not bad. Out of 40 seasons, though, still decent. And with that, we start on day 10 in Fiji. Ua had just voted out JD last episode. It looks like the tribe has come back and kind of slept on it. And we wake up in the morning to Jeannie, Ricard, and Shan. And they're all sitting having a little powwow, talking about how great they feel. Do you believe it, Amelia? Do you believe that all three of them are feeling great?
Oh man, well, if I were Jeannie, I would feel pretty good that they decided to get rid of JD.
Relief.
Yeah, exactly. Because I really thought it was up in the air. And I was watching with my parents and my dad got really angry because he really thought JD was going to be safe. And then he felt horrible that JD was double crossed by Shan. But I thought that was brilliant.
Shan was getting a lot of flack on social media for some of her moves. Yeah.
Oh.
I mean, it's Survivor. I believe that's the game. But
right.
Some people were like, how could you do JD dirty? It's hard when there's a fan favorite that gets voted out for the fans, then the repercussions. I mean, every time I get voted out, you know whoever voted me out is getting it on social media
exactly.
to the point of deleting their Twitter accounts sometimes.
Oh my God. That is, and I think my...
Feels good.
I'm sure it does. And I think my dad represents those people who were really upset because it was, you know, he really did trust her. But like you said, like, that's the game of Survivor. And what a fun twist it was. And I like Jeannie too. So I was like, you know what? Good for Jeannie.
Yeah, it was. And so they're sitting down and Jeannie's talking about how great she feels with everybody. And Ricard has one of the most RBFs I've ever seen in my life, and he is not changing. It is RBF city for Ricard over here. Like, every time Jeannie's like, I feel great, I love you guys, Ricard just like death glaring at her nonstop. Every single cut they look at Ricard, he's like death glare.
He always looks annoyed. He looks annoyed every single time. And it's like, if I were Jeannie, you'd think you would like turn over to the side and be like, what are you doing right now?
Yeah,
but
exactly. And she probably feels it. I mean, that's a look that you can definitely feel like burning a hole in the back of your head. And so so Jeannie is like, yeah, we're happy. Everybody's great. And Ricard is like, nah, I'm not cool with you, Jeannie. Let's get rid of her. He's probably always thinking and processing, but he's also not disguising it on his facial expressions.
Right.
And then... after Jeannie announces how great she feels, she's like, I'm going to go look for the idol, which is crazy to me that you just announced that, even in, especially in a tribe of three almost, where there's nowhere to hide at that point.
That is so true.
Yeah. Future tip or tip for future Survivor contestants, do not announce you're going to look for hidden immunity idols. And she finds it. And then another tip, don't go tell your tribe the second you find it, which is what Jeannie does. And
she's just so,
I love this,
she's so honest
and that's a great attribute. Let's say if you're trying to start a business that you want to build a great reputation,
yes,
or something like that. But otherwise I think in Survivor you need to be less honest. So she goes back, and then I love the sequence of events here. We have Shan and Ricard convince Jeannie not to take it because they want it for themselves. And it's a beware advantage that comes with some repercussions.
Right.
And they kind of know the repercussions from hearing about Brad's idol. And so they decide to just put it back. And then Jeannie's out in the ocean swimming around. And then Shan and Ricard decide that they're going to take it. Shan's the one that decides she wants it the most.
I love that.
Which is crazy that Ricard is just like, Okay.
He is a great henchman. I will say that. He just goes along with it and is just like, all right, sure, you do it.
He really does. He really does. So he's like, yeah, let's do it. And then he comes up with the plan to put a fake idol back in its place so that if Genie does end up opening it at some point, then she'll think that she has it. And then, this is master play by Ricard, he has the foresight to realize that if the phrase is said at the challenge, then Genie will know they took it. So Ricard goes to Genie and says, we're going to say the phrase just to see if the other two tribes have
Amazing.
It, so then we know. Worked really well.
It did.
And so he covered all his bases, and that's a lot of times what Survivor is about, is like making sure that you're looking into the future three or four steps ahead and setting up your gameplay. And that's exactly what Ricard did there. I think that was a master play. Amelia, any other insights on that, those moments there?
It was amazing, and I loved how Genie was just like, yes, you're so smart, Ricard. Yes, obviously. I was just like, oh my, Genie, oh my God.
Although it does make sense.
If you're going
to leave the idol and you are on that tribe, if I had been convinced to leave the idol, which under pressure you might have to, or at least pretend to.
Right.
And then that does make sense. Like, you're like, okay, yeah, that does kind of make sense. Then we at least know that the other two are found, et cetera. So
what Genie should have done is she should have insisted that she says the phrase.
Oh my God.
Good idea, Ricard. But so that I know that you guys aren't playing me and haven't actually opened that note, I'll be the one that says the broccoli thing. And that should be no.
So is whoever says it, the owner of the idol?
Oh, actually, I don't know. Doesn't it say that you have to say the phrase at the immunity challenge?
Yeah.
Yeah. Did Shan say it though? I thought Ricard said it.
Oh.
No, Shan said it. Because Shan was talking about how she was like, she's a vegan and
depleted.
She's starving. And so everything was like a broccoli or whatever.
Ricard set it up and Shan said it. Okay, that makes sense.
So
I think,
my thought process was, if Genie had said to Ricard, hey, like, I'll be the one to say the phrase, theoretically, under Ricard's story, he should have had no problem with that. Obviously, he would have had a huge problem because he needs Shan to say it, we think, based on how the rules are.
Right. And we see a moment with Ricard later where things don't go exactly as he planned. And then he immediately is like, no, that's not going to work. And then it's red flags everywhere.
Amazing.
So, yeah. So we get a lot there. And I love that. And I also love that they're down to a tribe of three. Nowhere to hide. It's going to be a lot of fun. And honestly, fingers crossed for me, as soon as we started this episode, I was like, I hope Ua loses again and goes to tribal again, because this is what we all have come here for. We've paid for blood and we want to see it. We go to Luvu and it opens with Sydney fishing and she gets fish, which is amazing because it's not that easy to do. I would say you have to be a good swimmer. You have to be able to hold your breath and you have to be very, very patient. And the fact that she is getting a handful of fish, all of them too small to really even get a morsel of food off of, but still, it's flavor.
Right. So when you get those fish, like normally, I've had fish and I don't really eat like the tail parts or the head part, but are you eating the whole thing? Are you just like, I don't care?
So what we did on Winners at War is that we cooked the fish because they were usually so small like
right.
that. So you get the guts out of them real quick, scrape the poop out of there, and then you cook them up, get the few morsels of meat off of them. And then, because the fish are so small, you cook them on the fire for an extra long time till the bones and tail and head are extra crispy and crunchy.
Wow.
And then you just crunch them down and they're kind of like, I don't know, like a pork rind style thing.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Okay. Wow.
Yeah.
Someone should market that as a snack. Like, you know,
I don't think so. I think there's better snacks already that are out there on the market that, don't entail fish tails. I mean, they could potentially. I mean, who's to say that fish sticks aren't already made of that?
Oh, true.
You know, like the chicken nugget of fish. So there is some sustenance there. And especially on a season where there's no food, then it makes sense. Any little fish you get. So Sydney's quite pleased with herself. And I actually think rightfully so. Catching fish is not easy. Then we cut to Deshaun and Danny talking about throwing the challenge again.
Wild.
Yeah.
absolutely wild. I just,
Amelia, we had a lot of conversation last week about throwing challenges. What is your take on throwing challenges?
Here's the thing. It's like, I understand why you might think in the moment that it's a good idea, especially if you have a whole plan. But I just feel like Survivor is so capricious in that you never know what's going to happen and your plan isn't always going to work. So you're going to need like 50 backup plans. And I just feel like it's safe just to do it and make sure that your ass is not for any kind of tribal. Like, I don't get that. I don't get it. But I mean, if you think that you're safe enough, I mean, go for it. But I just personally, I think that's dumb.
Yeah, it is a hard thing. But I think there is a time and place for it. Maybe these aren't the times and places on these small tribes. I mean, I'm starting to slowly come around to Riley's way of thinking. But I think, let's say you've got two tribes, and you've decimated the other tribe and you haven't even gone to tribal council.
Sure.
You've got 10 people there versus 6, and you are going to come to emerge at some point. There are going to be people on the bottom, and those people that you feel like you can't trust after 2 weeks, you have to get them gone before the merge, or otherwise you don't know where the lines are and it's cloudy. So I think
true.
There is a time and a place for it. Is this the time and place? I don't think so. And that is what these guys came up with as well. Danny's nervous about all the men getting voted out and the women taking over. And, you know, like, you look at that and you're like, oh, why does it have to be about gender? Why does it have to be about this or that? You're looking at any line that can possibly be a division. And you're thinking, where am I the majority? What lines am I in the majority? There's age, there's gender, there's background, there's everything coming into play. And you're doing all these calculations, even married versus unmarried.
Sure.
There's like, I have kids, like I'm a parent, I'm going to relate more with parents. A parent at the end versus someone who's not a parent. Are they going to have a better story because they got kids, et cetera? And so there's all these lines that a lot of times you're just making up in your head. And so Danny is concerned about that.
But I think it's so real. Like, as a woman, I at every job I've ever had, I've always made an alliance with the other women. It's just something that, you know, when you're part of a minority, it's kind of something that just naturally happens. And so,
good
and
to know. Yeah. Really good to know, Amelia. Okay. Next corporate job, I'll know the women are out to get me.
Exactly. So yeah, I think it's definitely something you have to consider. So
yeah, it is. And I mean, I even, you know, gravitate towards, because I have really long hair and I'm pretty disheveled at a lot of times. And so I generally gravitate towards that more, you know, casual, laid back, because in certain situations where everybody's trim and proper and I'm the guy that's wearing shorts to the wedding, you know, I got to find my people.
You got to.
Yeah. So I agree. And so, you know, there's real concern there. And Nasir, so Danny and Deshaun are already thinking, no, we can't throw the challenge. We can't afford to. And then Nasir just cements that by saying he absolutely will not throw the challenge. And Nasir's also excited about Danny and Deshaun even like talking to him. He's starting to feel included, which on Survivor, the goal as a player is to make everyone feel included.
Definitely.
Everyone.
Wow.
And if you're not doing that, then you are failing.
Well, I'm so glad that he finally feels included, because that would be one of my greatest fears on Survivor, is that I would not be included. I'm serious. Like, that is a real fear of mine.
Amelia, if you are not included on Survivor by day 10 in any capacity, it is solely your fault. Okay. There is some flaw with you that people are unwilling to get along with.
Okay. That's good to know. This is, I'm keeping this mental notes.
Yes. So, and really, as you go out, it should be your goal. Get on everyone's good side. Make them feel as included as possible. Obviously, there's those people you're going to bond with more, but there's those people that are hard to bond with just because of who you are or because of who they are. And it's clashing, but still, even in those moments, you have to do your best, even if it's superficial. Like, I've had moments where I'm like, they see through me. Hello, we are friends. Like, you still have to like try. And
would that be like Russell? Like, was that hard?
Russell wasn't
him.
Hard because I knew everybody hated his guts.
Okay,
so
got
for me,
it.
I was
got
like,
it.
I'm like the only guy this guy has if things go wow. bad for him. And so I could tolerate Russell. Like, honestly, he did not bother me out there. He bothered a lot of people. I remember actually one moment where we talked about this a couple episodes ago where it was pouring rain for a few days and people were threatening to quit. And
yes.
I remember looking at Russell and just being like, you know, what are we going to do about these people quitting? And Russell goes, I'll sit in the pouring rain for 39 days by myself, huddled in a ball for $1 million. And I was like, that's a hot take right there, you know? And so then that moment, it actually triggered a little bit of me being like, yeah, we're out here for $1 million. What's a little bit of rain? Who cares? And so, you know,
I guess he has a point. Yeah.
Yeah. So it was a great point. And it actually did make me just kind of shrug off the rain a little bit more. Like, I was trying, but I was miserable. But then when he said that, I was like, yeah, that's the mindset you do have to have for this game. And so Russell was fine. I'm thinking more of like Aaron Lobdell on Token Chains. I just couldn't connect with her.
Sure. I get
and,
that.
And like, I tried. And like, superficially, we had something. But I think under the surface, both of us knew that we didn't have anything. And
it seemed like a lot of people didn't have a lot with her.
Yes,
so.
Correct. And there's those people like that. They're just hard to bond with for whatever reason. And
sure.
So it's mostly superficial. And I think most of the time, most sides feel it, even though it's like cordial and surface level, much like probably some corporate alliances as well, Amelia.
Yeah. No, I constantly think, don't be the Aaron in this situation. Or,
that's
you know?
True, as you go through life.
Exactly, yeah.
So, yeah, so, and it's pretty well agreed at LUVU amongst the men that they want Erica out first, if it ever comes to that.
Right.
But that's kind of all we get from LUVU.
That is it.
We go to Yasa, and it opens with Evie talking to Xander, and Evie. Correction. And Evie is telling Xander, thank you, fact checker Riley, Evie. Evie talks to Xander and she's like pledging her allegiance to him. And so you're like, oh, this is kind of fun. This will be a fun shakeup. Only for Evie to then be like, I'm just throwing Xander a bone, but he's out the second we get here. It's Tiff and Liana and myself all the way. So
right.
I was like, oh, Xander. And I wore this roll neck sweater for him just, you know.
I was going to say, yeah, very nice.
In memorandum of a future Xander blindside. I don't know.
It's pretty inevitable. But
maybe,
know.
But it's there's going to be some shakeup here.
That's true. That's true. I'm excited to see what that is.
So so the three girls at Yasa are pretty much tight. And while Evie and Xander are walking, Tiffany and Liana kind of get a little suspect of that relationship with Evie and Xander, and then also decide to go through Xander's bag, where they learn about all of his advantages, all the details about his advantages, and the phrase. So when they heard the phrase the first time, they have a timestamp for when Xander could have found the idol. Xander decides he needs to tell Tiffany at Evie's request. He needs to tell Tiffany about his advantages so that he can gain some trust with her. And he does, except for he lies a little bit about when he found the idol.
Right.
And she immediately catches him.
Which was great. I loved all the faces she made and everything. Yeah.
So my question for you, Amelia, in this moment, you're Tiffany.
Mm-hmm.
Do you just keep that information to yourself? Like, oh, Xander lied. I caught him in a lie. I'll just keep it to myself and know that he's not to be trusted. Or do you call him out right there like she did?
Oh, my God. See, that's hard because I could see myself doing both ways and like not wanting to cause more trouble, but also knowing that I have the upper hand already, I think kind of helps. So maybe, honestly, you know what? I feel like Tiffany didn't really have a lot to lose. So why not? Yeah. I would have been like, wait a second. That doesn't sound right. And then kind of use that as a way to get him on my side.
My argument there is then if someone catches you in a lie on Survivor, you know that they're out to get you no matter what they say. So at this point,
that's
Xander
true.
Is now like, oh, I lied to Tiffany. She caught me. Now I kind of have to go after her and nip this in the bud a little bit.
That's true. That's true. That's hard because I think at this point, I feel as if Xander, he's just like, he doesn't know where he is. I mean, I think he thinks that he has an alliance with Evie, yeah. but at the same time, it's, I don't know. I just feel as if he kind of knows that there is something over there brewing with everyone else.
Yeah.
But he's just a little naive, I think, as well.
Yeah,
so
he is. I mean, he's young. And
it's true.
When I was young, I thought I knew everything. And then I realized I don't know everything until now. But I probably will look back at now in 10 years and realize that I didn't know anything now. But now I will, in the future, know everything. Every version of me has thought that past me didn't know crap. But the present version of me always thinks I know everything.
Everything.
So I know what Xander's going through, I think. But we've got some great news for Xander here in the future. But then we have also some even more terrible news for Xander here in the future after that as the episode progresses. And with that, we get into the immunity / reward challenge. We did get some character building here initially. I think we got to see Ricard really looking evil. Over and over and over again. Is he going to be our villain as the season progresses? It seems so. And the reward challenge, Jeff opens up with it being the hottest spot in Fiji. I have been to that spot and it is hot.
Oh, God.
It's like off the ocean a bit in the trees, surrounded by trees, blocks all the ocean wind, and the sun is just beating down. There's a huge clearing. And it is really, really hot. And I remember that specifically because on Winners at War, we were doing a challenge and Mark Burnett came out and shook everybody's hand before the challenge started. He'll make appearances once in a while on the important seasons, AKA every season I've been on. And, you know, shake hands, give hugs. And
was he drenched in sweat?
No, because Mark is surprisingly cool all the time.
Wow.
Yeah, but it was gracious of him. It's always fun to see Mark and bump shoulders with him. So he came out and just like gave everybody a hug and said, thanks for being here. Mm-hmm. The crazy thing though, is that you've already been out there, you know, a week or two. And you're like, you know, peeing in the bushes and like totally dirty. And then he's out there giving hugs. And
I'm like,
this is a brave man. This is a brave man. Jeff generally keeps his distance as much as possible from the contestants, but Mark got right up in there.
Oh, wow. A really people person, man of the people.
I think so.
I love that.
I love Mark. I honestly really do love Mark. I think he's a great guy. I've bumped into him at random on the street and been like, Mark. And he's like, Tyson. I was like, what are you doing here? He's like, what are you doing here? He's like, I live here. I live in Utah. What are you doing here? And
oh my God.
Yeah. So,
wow.
Yeah.
He's just like everywhere. I love that.
I mean, not everywhere. That happened one time.
Okay. Oh, that's funny.
So, So I've been there very, very hot. And before the reward immunity challenge starts, we go to Ricard, who enacts the phrase by Shan about the broccoli.
Right.
Which then they nudge Xander to say the butterfly phrase. And then, to our shock and dismay, Nasir...
Dismay?
Well, not dismay, fine. Not dismay. To our shock and excitement?
Personally, yes. I love him.
No, I do. I just... Shock and dismay usually goes together, so I just said that without thinking. It was just like already stamped in my brain.
I get it.
So I am not dismayed at all at Nasir's... Nasir repeats the goat phrase, like I'm as shocked... I'm as surprised as a goat on AstroTurf. Is that
confused, I think.
Confused as a goat on AstroTurf. And the second it comes out of his mouth, I'm like, yes, Nasir has the idol. But secondly, I think that phrase, while weird coming out of everyone else's mouth, is quite on brand for something Nasir would say. And I think that that raises no flags whatsoever by anybody other than the people who know the phrases.
That's actually, you know what? I didn't think of that, but I think you're entirely correct. Yeah.
Because he could always just be like, that's actually a direct translation of a saying we have in Sri Lanka.
Yeah, exactly.
So.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I love that. I didn't even think of that, but you're so right. I feel like that is definitely like it could be a phrase. We don't know, but And he's just such a, like a delightful person that I feel like he could just say that. And it's just like, that's just Nasir. He's so cute.
Yeah, he's a little cutie pie. Who's cuter, him or Ty from seasons past? Like a cute contest. We're having a cute contest
God,
here.
God, that is hard. I think they're both adorable and sweet men. Oh my God, this is too hard.
Okay, tribe of three. Season, cutie pies. Three captains. Who we got?
Nasir, Ty. I'm trying to think who else would be really cute. That's hard. I
can't think of a third cutie pie.
Neither can I.
It just has to be a two tribe season. Riley, who we got? We got a third cutie pie in here?
Yeah, how about we throw Tyson in there?
Oh, Riley, you charmer. Riley, you know I'm not your boss. I can't give you a raise or anything.
Sure, but you know, I'm fighting for minutes on this podcast.
You got your whole segment coming up, Riley. Right. And I tried even giving you more segments and you declined.
Well, we can get into that.
We are definitely going to get into it. Okay. Well, it'll be a two tribe season, Ty versus Nasir, because my face is too pointy to be like a true cutie pie. Like these cheekbones are cut in glass, and generally the more villainous characters are the pointy ones.
That's true.
So, okay. So fine. That cutie pie is going to be a two tribe season.
This episode is brought to you by Pure Leaf Iced Tea. Go beyond reality with new Pure Leaf Blackberry Iced Tea and discover a berry delicious world bursting with unexpected blackberry flavor. A world so full of refreshing blackberry iced tea that you may never want to leave. But there's always time to linger. Try new Pure Leaf Blackberry Iced Tea. Visit amazon.com/pureleaf and enter 20 Pure Leaf for 20% off your purchase of new Pure Leaf Blackberry Iced Tea.
So Nasir then has a little flashback about how his daughter was hiding idols in his backyard and he was going and finding them, super sweet, and how excited he was about finding the idol. And it is true. It's like one of those like stamps on your survivor career. Did I find an idol and did I have an idol in my hand, etc. And so he can check that box off. Sorry,
that was great.
Sorry, JD, that you didn't get your chance to, you know, check that box. But
oh,
Nasir
dang.
Did.
It's true.
And I guess all the idols are active now.
Right.
So then
exciting.
Yeah, that's exciting. That's good news for Xander. Who is on the bottom.
Finally. Yeah.
It's Nasir probably right now doesn't matter. And Shan maybe not so much. It doesn't matter. But Shan is in a tribe of three. And so it's could only be good news for her. And immunity's up for grabs, but also some tarps are up for grabs. And I'm going to tell you the single most helpful piece of comfort you can have on Survivor is a tarp.
Wow.
Because it keeps out all the rain. It can keep you warm if you use it as a wind block. It's the only thing that fully keeps you dry. On Heroes versus Villains, production made a very grave mistake in allowing the villains to win two separate tarps at two separate times. So there was one where they were like, you can win a tarp. And there are these big canvas military grade tarps that are gigantic, and we had trouble building a shelter, etc. So we win this tarp, we string this line across these trees and make this tent out of this tarp. Then the next challenge, they said, okay, you can choose one piece of survival gear if you win the challenge, and one of them was a tarp. So we were like, let's get a second tarp, and then we used that as a giant folded over like sleeping bag where you had like the base, and then you folded it over yourselves to create a giant 10-person sleeping bag so that we were then also warm and dry on the ground. And in 2 seconds, we had the sickest shelter ever built on Survivor, but they really refused to feature it because it was so lazy of us, which encompassed the entire villains tribe, where it was like, we can't really build a shelter together because all of us want to lead, but none of us want to work. And And so when we got that, production immediately was like, ah, that was terrible of us. There should be no way that this tribe gets two tarps. We're disgusted with ourselves. And it was so comfortable. Like, honestly, I could have lived out there forever once we got those two tarps. Yeah.
I love that. And also, well, I do think, you know, when Russell stole your guys' machete, I feel like, you know,
that didn't affect us.
It didn't?
No.
Okay.
He wanted everybody to notice the machete was gone. And a few people did, but nobody cared. Everybody was just like, I think it's gone. Well, it'll turn up. And he was like, ah, and we're like, nobody, like literally nobody made a big deal out of it. Which watching it back and watching it, I thought was hilarious that I was like, oh, I think I do remember the machete going missing for a little while, but I don't remember anybody really taking note of it being gone.
Oh my God, that's really funny. Yeah. Okay, I love that. Yeah. I love that it didn't affect you guys.
Yeah, it really didn't. And so then we start the challenge and it's the classic, you know, like jump over this net thing, which you really have to make sure to stay together as a team.
Yeah. And also nets, I just feel like that is, you can really injure yourself. We saw Xander freaking nearly crack his head open.
Yeah.
I mean, that's scary. That's legitimately scary.
Well, we had a contestant, I think her name was, Courtney one season that jumped in and broke her arm.
Right. Like the first episode or something.
Yeah, really sad. And so, but some of them are like that. Like you get into those challenges and, you know, that's part of the game is, you know, unfortunately, is, you know, some danger. And, and so, yeah, nobody gets hurt, but it's one of those things where like everybody has to get over it before you can start the next leg. So the strongest people on the tribe really have to help the weakest players on the tribe to get up and over the obstacle as best they can. And some seasons you see the strong people just take off immediately, only to leave people who can't do it by themselves behind.
Oh.
And it seems like this time all the tribes kind of stuck together pretty well and got through it. And then you get to the knot untying thing, which is one person. And Nasir crushes it again. He's coming through it. He was the hero just last week when they were trying to throw the challenge, unbeknownst to him. And this week, he's like the true hero. And they get through. Yasa gets through. And I mean, I don't know how you're feeling, Amelia, but at this point, fingers crossed, Uwa is losing because I know fireworks are about to go down.
I know. I was hoping that they would.
Yeah. Is that wrong of us?
No, I think it's because, like you said, like I want action. I you know, I don't watch Survivor just for everything to be like great, awesome,
right?
This works out for everyone. No, I want action. I want fun action. I want people cutthroat. Like, let's do it.
So you're like the ruler in the Colosseum, who they look at everybody and you give the thumbs down.
Exactly.
Finish them.
Hell yeah.
Okay, Riley, are you also hoping for an Uwa loss in this moment?
Yeah, definitely. I don't know exactly how often it happens, but it's not very often that you get three people going to a tribal council and none of them have an immunity necklace around their neck, which would, you know, obviously is the case in the merge. But in this case, they're all vulnerable. I mean, there's advantages floating around, but none of them are like, oh, I'm safe. I get to pick who goes home. It's like, okay, three of you, you know, one of you guys is leaving. And I think it's great.
Yeah. And so the survivor gods grant us our desire as Yasa wins with Xander, gets the big tarp. Nasir wins it for Luvu and gets the smaller tarp. And then Uwa loses. Hurrah, hooray. and in this moment, as they lose, I'm thinking, Shan has to play her idol. How can she not play her idol here? She must play her idol.
Interesting.
That's immediately what I'm thinking.
Wow. Okay, because I'm thinking like Shan just has so much power and she's so sneaky and they're just like, we'll do whatever you say, Shan.
Yeah, but in that moment of power when you're thinking everything is going good is when everything goes bad immediately.
That's true.
Also in a tribe of three, there's nowhere to hide. My other argument for playing the idol is everyone knows you have it. So it's not like a secret advantage. It's not one you're going to hold on to and threaten people with. People are going to be very sneaky about getting you out. Very, very sneaky. And so you if you can get rid of it and save yourself in a tight spot, then it takes some of the target off of you. So honestly, at this point in time in the episode, I'm thinking Shan has to play her idol, and that's it.
Right.
So along with the win, Yasa gets to choose someone from the losing tribe to go on a boat ride, and they choose Shan, which I think is wise. I think when you're choosing someone to be separated from the tribe, you're often choosing whoever you think is in the most power.
Sure. And, that makes sense.
Yeah. And that is because then that gives the tribe time to scheme against that person and hopefully come up with a plan. Yeah. As well as if someone is leading and also being like the heart of the tribe, then it demoralizes them. That's
I love the way you think. Yes.
Yeah. Wonderful. I mean, I think this way in Survivor. I also think this way in life, which I probably partly learned from Survivor. So yeah, it's, I don't know if it's good or bad. Riley, how do you feel about Shan, them selecting Shan?
To go on the thing?
Yeah, to go on the thing. I don't think it's called the thing. I think it's called like the boat ride or the, something
the
like that.
Expedition,
the expedition.
The hike, yeah. The excursion, something.
The hike.
I wish they would have called it the thing.
I think I don't even understand how they make that decision if they had an idea beforehand that maybe Liana and Shan would be the two to go, because I don't think they know anything about Shan at this point. She hasn't been on any of the adventures or anything.
They haven't. And so maybe that's part of it too. You select somebody who hasn't. But I think it's, yeah, there's a little bit to all of it. But I think in general, like the safest way is to go with who you think is in control of the tribe.
Yeah.
And then Yasa also gets to select someone from their tribe, which generally this season we've seen somebody volunteer to go. And this is no different, as Liana kind of volunteers. And I think because as a tribe, you know that when you win the challenge, you select people. So they probably had a conversation beforehand of who was going to go from each tribe. So they probably also knew who they were going to send from Luvu, if that were the case. And
I was wondering what Danny and Deshaun, or well, especially Danny, because he's the one that's worried about all of the women, mm-hmm. seeing two women from two different tribes going on this excursion, no doubt forming a bond. Liana and Shan are like, oh, we'll play this down when we get back to our tribes. It's like, uh-huh, yeah, like, of course you will. Everybody expects you to play it down. So I wonder if that will continue to be a thing coming up in future episodes, partially because,
that's a good point.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everybody expects you to play it down, and also everyone expects you to be together. So you have to play like they're in an alliance at this point because they've had time together. And so I don't think it's going to be hard to play down. And then if they do play down, the problem here is that then you start building mistrust as you're like, oh, Liana didn't really give me the love I was expecting. Is she like really not with me, or is she playing it down? I don't know. And then you're like, it's mixed signals. And that's like the trouble you get in when you play something down, is that you need to reassure those people that you're with them. And if they don't have that reassurance, there comes a point of doubt and mistrust.
That's exactly what happened to Eddie on this episode. Where she was like, okay, yeah, I have to play the fake Xander thing like we talked about. And Tiffany was like, I think the Xander bond is real now.
And that's true. And I also thought this same exact thing was going to bite Ricard in the ass a little bit later down the road here. And so, so Shan and Liana go on this hike to the advantage. And immediately when Shan is gone, I think Ricard now has to assume she has or is going to get another advantage and has to figure out how to get rid of her at this point. Like, that is in my mind. I'm like, Ricard must figure out a way to get rid of Shan because she has the extra vote that she did give to Ricard. I forgot to mention that earlier in the episode. She gave it to Ricard as a token of trust.
Right.
And, but he's got to be thinking, you know, if she gets another advantage, like, this is bad for me. So, and on that same line, Shan must also think, Ricard's going to think I'm too powerful. I have to play my idol.
Yeah, That is interesting. You know what? I'm actually kind of more confused as to why Ricard wouldn't have just been like, okay, well, it seems like Jeannie's a loyal person, so I'm going to go with her and I'm going to vote Shan off.
Yeah. And that's how I feel too. And so we're not getting the full story because we're getting the TV version, but that's what I also was like too. So Shan and Liana start their hike and they form a very tight alliance as we see Shan's backstory with her mom and
her
life growing up in foster care and her turnaround from joining a gang to becoming a pastor.
Wild. Yeah. I would have never guessed that. Yeah. I was like, oh my God. And just, I mean, it was like I was really inspired. I was like, oh my God, Shan. It was really sad. And obviously I love that her and Liana bonded and we got more of a backstory from Shan. And I don't know about you guys, but I know of the Survivor winner's edit, but I've never like totally looked into it or anything. But because I usually go to Survivor Reddit for like the memes, and that's really all I go for.
Okay. But I just go and then search Survivor Tyson and then I can read everything people are saying about me. Yeah.
That's smart. But would you say this kind of like this backstory, this emotional backstory with Shan, would I be wrong in thinking this is part of the winner's edit? Like she's getting a favorable, like emotional story building kind of.
No, that's correct. Here. But there's also the winner's edit misdirect.
Mm.
And that comes before the winner's edit.
Oh, damn.
I would say just as big with regards to the edit, which I don't like, it's wrong as often as it is right. So who the heck knows? But the other thing with Shan is that all the votes happen from her perspective. Like she's kind of the protagonist on the Ua tribe. It's always her making the decision. She's gotten a lot of like the last confessional before they head to tribal council. And that's the stuff where I'm like, oh, like they're centering the story on her. Right. And that makes me think that she must go very far in the game. And I think
right
now I would say reading the edit, like she's the leader in the edit to win.
And if not win, they are definitely setting her up to come back another season.
Oh, I mean, I am all for it. I have loved Shan since the first episode. And actually, a lot of other people that I've talked to about it are Team Shan as well. She's just love her.
Yeah, so. She is great. And I like she's strategic, using her brain every step of the way, using emotional connections to get what she wants, but not exploiting them fully all the time. And so, and I agree. I'm Team Shan as well. So Shan and Liana really connect on the hike. And part of it is that Shan is being vulnerable in this moment. And you have to share bits of your life. So
definitely.
The tricky part about Survivor is sharing bits of your life that make you vulnerable enough to connect with these people, but not so vulnerable and so emotionally connected that if you have to vote that person out, it makes them mad.
Oh God, what a dilemma. I couldn't do that. I couldn't do that. That's just, oh God. Yeah. I mean, I was hurt for JD. I mean, I loved when it was like, bye JD, but I was also like, yeah, JD, like I'm starting to love JD. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, but that's how we saw it with Dawn Meehan on the second Fans versus Favorites, where she connected so hard with people that when she backstabbed them, they were so hurt they would not vote her in the end. And that is honestly, that's a misstep and a miscalculation. And whether it's a personality flaw for the game, mm-hmm. it's obviously a strength in life. Sometimes there's nothing you can do about it. So it'll remain to be seen how that plays out. I would like to see Shan and Liana reconnect at some type of merge situation and do something. I don't know what that is, but, like play the game together in some capacity. And is Shan then deciding between Ricard, her right-hand man, or Liana? Which is, fingers crossed, something also that we will see down the road.
I would love that. Yeah. And I also think it's interesting that they directly said, as two Black women, as two women of color, whereas like I know, I think it was in Game Changers when Ciri helped out Michaela, mm-hmm. and it was never, at least from what I can remember, fully addressed that it was like two Black women, two women of color helping each other, even though it was like heavily implied. And I love that we're actually getting them to say it on camera. I think that's great. So I thought that was cool too.
Yeah. And I think it goes back to there's lines. There's lines drawn when you touch the island without Definitely. Knowing anything about anybody based on your background. Can be race, can be religion, can be anything, but you have to find those lines and try to figure out all of the lines that other people are thinking. And so it is good, I think, especially because that's the way it happened, to see it that way.
Yeah, and, definitely.
And so we see that. And one of the smartest quotes I think I've ever seen on the show comes out of Liana's mouth at the end of this is wrapping up. And Liana says, it's not about who you trust. It's about who trusts you. And that
yes.
couldn't be more accurate. It really is. Like, you could trust everybody in the world, but if they don't trust you back, it's worth nothing.
That's so true. Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah, definitely. I mean, it really is. You know, that's why, you know, people get blindsided and all that good stuff. So that is a very astute quote by her.
Yeah, I think so. And so Shan tells Liana to get the advantage, and she's not going to go for it. Smart move by Shan to keep her vote with a tribe of three, I think, and also to yeah. give and let Liana know that she's giving it to her.
Right. There's trust there.
So that builds yeah. more trust, and maybe even like Liana feels like maybe she owes Shan a little favor there as well.
Nice. And, I love that.
This advantage is different than what we've seen in the past, in that Liana's advantage that she receives is that at tribal council, she can go fish someone, the card game Go Fish, and she can say, yeah. do you have an idol or do you have an advantage? And if that person has the specific thing she asks about, they have to give it to her.
Wonderful. And she already knows, you know, Xander has it.
Yep. And this is more reason not to tell anybody about all of your advantages.
Right.
So,
yikes.
Xander, what news was good in that your idol has been activated is now terrible, as Liana will most certainly take your idol.
Right. And now she, because I would assume that, do you think they know everyone else who's playing the game who hasn't said the lines that they're like, okay, they have said that line a couple of times?
I think most people know. I think that like 90% yeah. of the cast knows, if not everybody at this point, all the contestants are like kind of privy to it to a certain degree. Mm-hmm. And if not, they will be told by others pretty soon. And so I think that these idols have nowhere to hide. And the sooner you can play yours, almost the better to a certain degree. Yeah.
Wow. That's scary.
If you have an idol, and you know the other two that have the idols, maybe form an alliance.
See,
an idol alliance.
That is a good, I like that. I would do that, I think, if I had one. Or else I would be so afraid. And I've thought about this many a time while watching Survivor, being like, okay, I have an idol and I'm really afraid that they know I have an idol, so I gotta play it. So I'm just trigger happy. So
yeah. I mean, if you find it in secret, then nobody knows. But if you find it in public, you do need to play it as soon as you feel like maybe there's even if there's just a smidgen of inkling that you need to, I think it's gone. You got to play it. We go back to Uwa, the three-person tribe. This is what we've all been waiting for.
Finally, yeah.
Ricard and Jeannie talk about Shan, and Ricard is saying how distrustful Shan is and how, but this is all an act, and Ricard tells us it's an act. But in my mind, I'm thinking Jeannie is going to then use this as fodder for Shan to get Ricard out. And now it's up to Shan to decide who's telling the truth. And this could get confusing for her. So I like where Ricard's head is at a little bit, other than the fact that it could come back to bite him if he's too specific about how he wants to get rid of Shan, knowing that it's going to go back to Shan to a certain degree. And Shan, or Jeannie, does not trust Ricard at all. She immediately is like, I don't trust him.
Yeah.
And I mean, we see his RBF again here.
Once again,
he's just glaring at while he's having strategic conversations about building an alliance with Jeannie, he can't help but glare at her.
It's wild. He's just like,
yeah.
And it's just like, Jeannie, look up, like look in his face. He's yeah. not.
He's, it seems like she like has you. Because she's not buying it at all.
Okay, so here's my thing, and I'm curious what you guys think. Do you think that Ricard knew by saying to Jeannie, like, I don't trust Shan, it's you and me, let's do this, that Jeannie would go behind his back and talk to Shan and be like, this is what Ricard said to me?
I think that he would think that. And this new age of Survivor, it's really crazy because I remember the first time I played in Token Chains, we had the idea to get Brendan out at the merge for like a week because we were going to vote him out. It didn't happen because somebody got a knee injury and they got pulled. Oh. They got medevaced.
Joe
got medevaced. And so then we're already going to get rid of Brendan. And then everybody kept it secret and tight for three more days after that. And now nothing lasts more than 5 minutes. I don't know if it's a generational thing or how the game has evolved, but if you go to anybody with any amount of information, it's getting back to everybody immediately. And so now in this modern age of Survivor, the only time you can really talk strategy, really, really specific strategy, like who to vote out, is like 5 minutes before tribal council. That's like that all is, the time you have.
That's wild. Yeah. That is so wild.
It's really incredible that you cannot keep a plan in motion for longer than that amount of time because somebody squeaks and then it's done. And then it's scrambling again. So what happens is like you would come to me and be like, Tyson, let's get rid of Riley. And then I go to Riley. I'm like, Amelia's trying to get rid of you. And then you hear that from Riley that I said that to him. And then we're all scrambling again. And then it slows down as we come up with a new plan. But then that information is leaked. And then it speeds up again. And it's like constant. So the best thing you can do is just sit in the shelter, twiddling your thumbs, pretending like you're up to nothing until 5 minutes before tribal. And then whisper real quick about what's happening.
That is so insane. That would make me go crazy.
No, it's infuriating.
Oh my God. So did you have to deal with that like during Winners
at War? Yeah, it was all about that, Winners at War. It was all like that.
Oh my God. That's insane. So, that's truly crazy.
Yeah. And I mean, there was more to it because there were pre-existing relationships. There were phone calls before the game. And so like, if you're not privy to all that stuff, then that's like way more information. So... Yeah. So it was, it's crazy. And so for me, seeing this, I'm just assuming that everything that, that Ricard is telling Jeannie is going to go back to Shan and that everything Jeannie is telling Ricard is also going back to Shan. And I'm watching this and I'm thinking, you know, it's confusing for Shan. And then Shan, you know, really can choose which direction to go. But, she decides to go to Ricard and try and take the extra vote that she gave him as a trust token back.
Amazing.
Good move or bad move here, Amelia?
I think it's a bad move, right?
Bad move. Terrible move.
Yeah.
Shows you don't trust anybody at all.
I'm just like, what is she thinking? Did she not get her like little daily coconut or something? Like, I mean, I'm sure that the sleep deprivation,
all
the food really affects it. But I just, why would you do that? And then, of course, Ricard was like, wait a second.
He did something JD could not do.
Right. Yes. Exactly. Which props to him for doing that.
Yes,
honestly.
I agree too. And Ricard stuck to his guns and said, I will give it to you after. And she said, but then I won't trust you. He's like, yeah, but then how will I trust you if you take this from me?
Right.
And it's an argument. Where if Shan truly did not trust Ricard in this moment, just play your idol.
Exactly.
Play your idol because you can go with him still and hope that you trust him, but play your idol as a token, which Ricard actually suggested she do if she doesn't trust him. He's like, I'm with you, but if I give you this, I have nothing. And you can play your idol, but I'm with you. And playing her idol would have been a little bit bad in this moment because it would have showed Ricard that Shan didn't fully trust him, but right. It's way better than arguing and trying to take the thing she gave him not a day earlier back. And the second Ricard was like, no, then I won't have anything. She should have been like, oh yeah, you're right. No, you're right. Definitely keep it. Let's figure it out after.
The back and forth between those two, I was like, what are you doing? Like, just the way that she thought that she could manipulate it. And you know what? I love her still, but I just, I think it works so well, like you're saying with JD, that, and it's like, you should know that Ricard, he's sneakier. He's smarter than JD. And yet she was really trying to charm that advantage back.
She was. A few things I want to note here is that Shan says that the idol is hers because she's done the legwork, or the advantage is hers because she's done the legwork to get it from JD. Right. And in my mind, I'm like, but didn't Ricard then in some capacity do the legwork to get it from you? And then Shan also says, it rightfully belongs to me. And again, I think, does it though? Does it really though?
Does it actually though, Shan?
Yeah. So both of those moments, I was like, check yourself. You're getting ahead of yourself here. You're being, I don't know if that's fully true. And then she also says she has to choose at this moment between the strategist or the loyalist, which is the title of the episode.
Right. So she got the title of the episode. Good for her.
Yeah.
You know what? Watching it, I too was like, God, you know what? I do think that, I mean, the fact that Ricard is a strong player, I think just from the fact that I think there's been a lot of examples why, but just the fact that he wouldn't give her back that advantage, I think really, I mean, if I were her, I'd be like, wait a second, this guy is not following everything that I'm saying.
Yes.
I know he's a strategist. Yep. I know that, you know, he wants to win this as much as I do. Whereas Jeannie has blind loyalty. Why wouldn't you go with the blindly loyal person?
That's what I was thinking too. In that conversation moment, I was like, this is a red flag for both of them. Ricard should not trust Shan. Shan should not trust Ricard. And they should both go against each other.
A real battle royale. Yeah, exactly.
And I mean, fingers crossed, we were kind of hoping for the fireworks. And with that, we head into tribal council. Three-person tribal council. We love it, right, Riley?
Yeah, I was hoping that we would get a three-way tie, too. One vote on each of them.
I thought we were going to get a two-way tie. My hope was that Ricard played the extra vote, voted for Shan. Shan didn't play her idol, but voted with Jeannie to get rid of Ricard, which brought it to a tie there. Then, does it come down to
I think they would tie break on that. I don't know.
Just a rock? It goes to rocks now, right? They don't get the tie break where they... Do they get the tie break where only the people who were voted for get to vote, or they a revote? Because they used to do that.
Usually it's... But it might just... It's a tiebreak, but the people who get voted for don't get to vote.
Don't get to vote. So it's just Jeannie who selects who goes home.
Oh my God.
That's what I think it would be, yeah.
So I was kind of hoping for that. And then I was also thinking... and then I thought, the most clear thought I think I had was that Ricard has to vote Jeannie to keep it clean. But right. Does he use his extra vote to vote Jeannie as well?
But oh my God.
Would it really matter at that point? So I was thinking that his only play was to really hope that Shan is with him here. Otherwise it's going to a choice and Jeannie is not choosing to keep Ricard.
Right. Yeah. We learned anything about Jeannie. Yeah, exactly. That is wild. I know. It also kind of confused me too, the fact that maybe if I were Ricard, I would have gone with Jeannie just like when they were scheming together, just in that, like, cause I for the same reasons that I said, you know, Shan wanting to maybe go with Jeannie. It's like, well, it seems to me that if I were to try to make it so Jeannie, like we could be together, cause I know that Shan will eventually double cross me. I just like, it's something that I know, but I guess.
But also like, Shan has to feel that way about Ricard. Like Ricard is double crossing her at some point. Like they are both, but like who strikes first and when is it happening?
I can't wait for that episode. I'll tell you that. Oh my God.
So yeah. And that's kind of how I was feeling too. And then at Tribal Council, Ricard pretty much is just like, I come up with all the moves. I'm the strategist. And then Shan executes them, and we're the perfect team, but I am the strategist. I'm the one. And I'm thinking, don't, not right now. This is a moment where you should not be bragging. Maybe you save that for final Tribal Council, but right now you should be like more like, yeah, I'm happy to be here. And, you know, I'm sticking to who I've stuck by forever and ever and like stick to the plan type of thing. And so I'm thinking, oh, this isn't great for Ricard here. And that could swing Shan to like, be like, we got to get rid of him.
So would you think if you were Shan and you were listening to this, would you be like, wait a freaking sec, I'll keep Ricard for now, but the next time what we're together or we get a new tribe and we're on that tribe, he's out of here.
Yes. I would think that, immediately. And I would think like, oh, he's taking credit for the things I feel like I've done. That's a problem. And that's part of the game is like, you know, somebody's ego gets a little hurt because they're the ones coming up with the plan or feel like they are, even if it's even if they both are, then that's the beauty of the game is that like you can't predict everything based off of people's emotions, what credit they want, what, you know, there's so many, like, is it a big enough move? There's so much to it. Yeah. And so
crazy.
It was so crazy. And, but then logically, like I mean, and we can have the listeners can, they'll tweet at me and tell me their ideas. But I think logically for Ricard, he has to just vote Jeannie. Like that's the only way it's not sticky for him. And, Shan can play her idol and really go any direction she wants.
Amazing.
And, the votes come out, they go and vote and it's, one vote Ricard, one vote Jeannie. A sigh of relief from Shan because she knows exactly who it is at this point. Even though the other two don't, they're still sweating it. And Jeannie is gone. And with that, we have a two-person tribe, which as soon as this happened, I was like, they should do like a battle royale challenge to just like keep one person from the tribe. They should be like, and now we're going to the battle zone and then put them like on a totem pole or something. That was that episode. What'd you think?
I thought it was great. I truly didn't know who was gonna, cause I Jeannie's so sweet. And I was just like, not Jeannie, but also like, yeah, Jeannie's probably gonna leave. And so I had that in my mind. And then again, it was exciting to see Nasir get the, idol, which I loved. And again, I loved the character building of Shan, and I just love Shan in general. And I'm interested in, and this is like kind of halfway related. Also, this is just me being like, I have your attention and now I just want to ask you a question. But so in Token Chains, I feel like I have seen so many people. They're like, well, I just love JT so much that I think he should win definitely.
Crazy.
What was that?
Was crazy. It was pure craziness. And then the second I was like, we should get JT out earlier than we want to. And then coach went to JT and was like, Tyson wants to get you out early, but don't worry, I'm protecting you. And then they voted me out. And I was like, coach, you just cost me $1 million, bro. I would have won every challenge all the way to the finish line that season, which is crazy to think. The one challenge based solely on luck, I took second place in.
My God.
That was really crazy. I still look back on that and I'm just like,
what was his hold over people? Like because I rewatched Token Jeans, a couple months ago and my friend and I were just like, they're literally going to give this man $1 million. Like we already knew he would win, but it was just like, what? Like we counted several people saying that. Give it to JT. Yeah.
It was so crazy. Like, and it was infuriating for me because I had to pretend like, you know, he's the good old boy. Like, great.
Right.
I'll tell you something, Amelia. He doesn't have that hold on anybody now.
Oh, you heard it here first. I love that.
I don't think you heard it here first. I mean, you've seen his other seasons play out.
That's true.
So, we get the next episode tease. and something's coming up, but it doesn't seem to be a merge and it doesn't seem to be a tribe swap. It seems to be something we've never, ever seen before.
What could it be?
I don't know. How many people do we have left in the game, Riley?
We have 12. So I was expecting 12. A merge, same as the contestants in the game, clearly.
Yeah, that's what I was expecting too. And then it seems like it's not, or is that another misdirect? I think it's something a little bit different we're going to see. And I think it's going to be disappointingly not different enough.
Yeah, it's got to be like, just kind of like some kind of tribe swap with like a little twist. And then people are sort of playing it up.
Yeah, this is what I think. Not really, but this is like... season one, they called it merger. So Jeff's just be like, we're going to call it a merger again instead of a merge. And everybody's like, oh, my, I've never even heard that before.
I think it'll be a little honestly, more dramatic than that.
I hope it's not. I really hope that it's like not dramatic at all. Just for humor's sake.
That would be funny.
Yeah.
Do you think maybe it could be like, we're voting two people off right now, and then we're merging?
That would be fun. Something like that, or like, okay, draw sticks to see, we're going to do a challenge right now, and losing a team, even though they're not a tribe, has to go to tribal, vote one person out, and then we're merging. Like, there's like a few twists, and I think it's going to be something along either what you're saying or what I'm saying, or a mixture of some combination. And Jeannie's closing remarks. She almost played the shot in the dark. Would have been phenomenal. And it goes back to Riley's in mind challenge. Riley thinks that the shot in the dark is going to be played over 2.5 times. I think it's going to be played 0 times because the odds are not great enough to ever play it.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like we've seen it with Jeannie before where she's like threatened to play the die before. And it's just like, well, interesting. The one person who's really been talking about the shot in the dark has never used it, actually. So,
right.
I don't know.
She should have used it on the last episode. I'm still kind of bitter about it because it should be more than 0 at this point.
I thought about that too, Riley. I thought after you said that last week, and I thought about it more in your reasoning, it did make sense. And there's going to hopefully be more times this season when it does make sense, but will people use it then?
Right. Because you may be sort of also, like you guys touched on earlier, you project to everybody that you don't trust them. So there is a big incentive to not use it. And we saw in this episode, Jeannie did go back and was like, oh, now I trust everybody now. But it was also like, come on, Jeannie, like they've been against you on every vote.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Exactly.
That's so true.
So with that, we move into Riley's beard update. We are past day 26 on the beard. We're at day 29. Is that right, Riley?
Yeah, this would be day 29 on the island. So,
wow.
For these players, they're already heading home at this point.
Yeah, they would already be heading home if they were these podcasters here. And Riley, you can look at his beard, Amelia, and know that it's not a full survivor beard.
No,
it's never going to be a full anything beard for me.
It will.
I'm doing my best.
It will in December. Like, I've gone a lot of times with a beard this long. So it's also day 29 is not a day 39 beard, which now Riley and I are going towards. Riley, are you feeling more comfortable with the beard or less comfortable?
Well, I'm past the itchy phase. It's still very uncomfortable when you have to wear a mask. Really not a fan of that. So that's made it a lot worse. And then the thing is that you see it on Zoom. Yeah. And it kind of gets all like this low resolution.
Fuzzy and smoothed out.
Yeah, it looks decent. In real life, doesn't look good. Let me tell you, I went and saw one of my friends over the weekend who hadn't seen me. I told him I was growing out, so he knew, but he hadn't seen me. He opens the door and he gave me a look that I've like never seen from him before. And I was like,
Was it jealousy?
No, I was like, yeah, dude, I know it's bad.
Envy. It was envy. Yeah.
He was like, what's on your face?
I also DM'd a little back and forth with Riley's mom. She said she was going to get you some beard oil for the beard, which does smooth it out and creates less itch. Did you get some beard oil from her?
Yeah, she got that for me. I've used it, but I think that it would have been more useful. Enough. Well, I think it would have been more useful 2 weeks ago when it was really itchy. Now I'm kind of past that phase, so it doesn't have as big of an impact.
Okay. Wow. And then I also talked to your mom about building a Survivor audition tape. She wanted me to encourage Riley to audition. And then I had I had this brilliant idea that each week we would do a little segment to build a little bit of Riley's audition tape until we get to the point where we had a full audition tape we could build solely from the podcast to submit to casting. And we were going to do that. And then I let Riley know. I said, you have to be honest. You have to be open. You're going to have to be vulnerable because they're looking for that. They're looking for somebody who can be that on national TV. And Riley messaged me and said, he is not ready to open up that much in front of our, I think we're at 500,000 listeners now on this pod. So he said, I don't think I can do that in front of 500,000 people.
Is that a real number?
Yeah. I mean, 500,000 is a real number. Yes.
Oh, okay. All right. Great. Man, I don't know. I feel like that's a lot of pressure. I've always been a person who kind of avoids the spotlight. And this is why I think if I went on Survivor,
you're going to be perfect for Survivor.
I think I'd be good. I think I'd be a decent Survivor player. I think I would not be a very good reality TV character. Fantastic. Yeah.
Okay.
And so,
I mean, not with that attitude, especially.
Definitely not. Definitely not. And so I have to work myself up to it, I guess. But workshopping my audition tape in front of a public audience basically is like kind of mortifying to me in a way. So. I'm hitting the pause button on that, at least for now, Tyson. I think that you're going to keep trying to convince me, though, if I know you.
No, I'm not. We're going to build Amelia's tape here instead. Okay.
God.
Great.
Amelia, you ready?
See, here's the thing. And I was, so when I was watching this, I wrote down one of the quotes from Xander, and he said something like, you know, as long as I say I'm not hungry, then I become not hungry. And I don't think I could do that. I don't. I really don't think I could do that. So I don't think I could be on Survivor.
But if the absence of food, there's no food.
Right.
So you can't even like look at a fridge of food and be like, I want a snack. There's nothing to have. And that makes it different.
Okay. I mean,
look at the nincompoops
guess
that have played this game. Okay. Look at them, Amelia.
That's true. But the sleep deprivation actually, I feel like would be worse.
Yeah. But still, look at the nincompoops that have played this game. You'd be great out there. You'd be fine. But if you don't want to either, then that's fine. But I think just for Riley's sake, Amelia,
yes.
You, first of all, on Survivor, they coach you to answer all of your answers in a way that the question is somewhat stated so that the producer doesn't have to be heard at all. Does that make sense?
It does.
So our first question for building your audition tape.
Okay.
What does Survivor mean to you, Amelia? And why do you think you deserve to be on the show more than other people?
Oh my God. What Survivor means to me. And I, you know, I'm not going to say like JD and be like, well, it means everything. It's my entire life. And I've modeled my entire personality after Malcolm and Ozzy, despite neither of them winning and going out there multiple times. But Survivor has gotten me through a lot, especially in this pandemic, because I've rewatched it several times. I also think it's, you know, I know they've said in the past that, you know, Survivor, you can use it in everyday life. And I feel that way too. I mean, like I said, you know, I've worked in corporate America, and trust me, there are some times where I'm thinking, now, what would they do on Survivor? Like, how would Sandra come at this? How would Tyson feel this way, you know? And so I think I'm already kind of using it in everyday life. And again, I love Survivor. Just, I love the gameplay. I love watching it. I think it's one of the funniest shows on TV. There is everything about it I absolutely love. And I love reality TV. And I would say Survivor is like my number one. So that's what I would say. But I would also think, you know, why me instead of everyone else? That's a great question. I would say because I've studied Survivor, I've seen so many seasons, I feel like I kind of know what they're looking for. I guess I know what they're looking for, and what they're looking for is me.
Yeah. And also a way to phrase that is, I'm Amelia, I've learned a bunch of stuff from Survivor, and I've lived in corporate America and implemented those things I've learned from Survivor in my quest to dethrone all of the corporate fat crats across the country. You're all going down, CEOs.
That's why you've been on this show so many times. There you go.
Well, that's for you. So, but you do have to be open and vulnerable. And those are moments Riley's not ready for. And I understand.
I get it.
We can talk about it in private, Riley. But until you're ready to unleash your full heart in front of millions of listeners, no doubt, we're not going to be ready for the show. And with that, Riley, we move into your survivor superlatives.
Okay. Yeah, let's do it. So first up is best move. Do either of you have a best move that jumps out to you immediately that you want to highlight?
I do. Best move for me was Shan with Lyanna on the hill. Just that whole sequence of events, giving her the advantage, bonding emotionally, talking about, you know, sticking to the end and having an alliance other than Rickard, who now is her only alliance if she had not done that.
Right. I think that I would definitely agree. I would also say, just for a different sake, the fact that Nasir's daughter was like, "Dad, I'm making my own idol and I'm hiding it in our backyard and you're going to look for it every single day." I think that's great. It worked. So
best move happened months before the game even started.
Exactly. Yes. Yep.
That's a good pick.
I like it. Yeah. I, like
I was
going
to say it's Rickard refusing to give back the extra vote to Shan.
I like
and
that too.
That whole conversation was amazing to me because he just had it all right. He was like, "If I give this to you, you have no incentive to keep me." And he was absolutely correct.
He was. And moves us into our next superlative, Riley.
Worst move.
Shan trying to get the extra vote from Rickard.
Yes, agreed.
Agreed. That was wild.
She should have never attempted it. And even if she did attempt it, the second there was any pushback from Rickard, she should have said, "You're right, Rickard. I'm crazy."
Immediately retreat. Yep.
Immediate retreat. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Favorite moment?
I think Rickard and Shan having the conversation about the advantage, or Nasir saying the phrase about goats on AstroTurf.
That was delightful.
Yeah. A lot of really good music when they went to his idol hunt, too.
I like that, too. The touching, emotional music I did like as well. Perfect music.
My favorite moment was Sydney saying that she considers herself a mermaid when she was fishing. She's had some great quotes this season. Sydney's a great
character.
She
really has.
Huge and hopefully
star.
We're going to see more of her here. So...
I'm already excited because remember last episode, it was just like a clip of her crying and I'm just like, all right, sure. More of that emotional craziness. I'm into it.
And throwing the machete because she couldn't start fire.
Right.
So good.
All right.
Did you have a favorite moment, Amelia? What was yours?
Oh, I mean, I love both of your guys' moments. I would say, I mean, I did really love hearing about Shan's mom. I thought that was really poignant. So.
Character building, which we love this season. We are seeing more and more of it, and it's fun to go back and see people's lives we've never seen that before.
Yeah.
So, okay. Next one, Riley.
All right. Front runner to win at this point.
Man, that one is tough because they're coming into some swappy mergy thing. So it throws everything in the air. At this point, I think Lyanna is one of the best positioned. She's on a decent sized tribe, but it's not the biggest tribe, which the biggest tribe generally can get picked off in a three tribe situation. And she's formed her bond with Shan. She has the advantage that will give her an idol when she needs it. And and I think she's like under the radar enough. She hasn't come to the forefront, but so much is in the air with the merge that it's hard at this point to say.
Yeah, I think those are all great points. I just, again, I have to go back to Shan. It's a personal choice because I think she's great, but also, and I know that they probably are throwing me off, but I'm fine with just believing that she's getting the winner's edit, so.
Yeah, I'm picking Shan as well, even though the other thing that's tough with the winner's edit is that Ua has gone to tribal council so much that, of course, those are the players that are going to get all of the airtime, whereas like players on Luvu have had no chance to go to tribal. So if some of them are flying under the radar, they have to. They just haven't had the chance to get that shine yet.
Right. I agree that, too. We haven't seen enough from everybody for a real true prediction. And I also feel like that's with our next superlative, next out, there's just too much up in the air if some merge or swap happens.
Yep. Amelia?
I'm curious to see, well, I'm curious for two things. One, I just feel like you got to get Tiffany out. She is just too much of a liability. I mean, I think she's funny and I thought she was really annoying for a while, but this episode kind of turned me around just because I loved all those faces that she was making behind Xander's back. But I think she is so paranoid and she has shown it so many times. It's just like, Leanna and Evie, what are you doing? You need to get this woman out. So I'm interested in see how long she ends up staying.
Yeah. So Amelia, if you ever find yourself on a fans versus favorite scenario with Tiffany, you know that you already have an enemy.
That's true. So at least I have that to just go. That it'll give me more airtime probably.
It'll give you more airtime, and at least you'll know where some lines are drawn, so they won't be as confusing.
Exactly.
Who do you want out? Is that who you want out? Who would you want to see go home the most?
Honestly, Heather, because like she's just like there, and I'm just like, let's get rid of the dead weight, I guess.
Yeah, she has not gotten an edit so far, other than last week's moment at the challenge.
Oh, right, yeah.
Riley,
I think Xander is in a really poor position because no one on his tribe trusts him. They all know about his advantages, and now somebody on that tribe can also steal the advantage at tribal council if they want to. So he is basically dangling by a thread in my view.
The beauty is that with the merge, it can shake things up and it's like a hard reset sometimes. So we'll see. Anything else, Riley?
I think that's it. That's everything for the superlatives.
Amelia, closing remarks?
I'm loving this season so far, but again, you know, I'm so excited to be here and to talk to you. This is huge for me. So, nothing will surpass Heroes versus Villains for me. So I'm just putting it out there.
I think I made that season. Micronesia coming out on Netflix, and we have something special in the works for when it does. So stay tuned for that. Otherwise, thanks everybody for tuning in, and you're welcome for creating one of the greatest podcasts there is. We did it.